a part of the worship team, and I too want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms that are here. We are so thankful for you, and we hope today will be a special day for you. I was thinking this week as I was preparing this message, it's been 4 years. Now, since I have lost my mom to heaven, and I miss her, I think of her often, and that's going to be one of the blessings of heaven, is to just be with those that we love forever and ever. And many of you, most of you, probably have someone there already that you miss. And I just want to encourage you, don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven, because it's forever, and we will be with those that we love. If your mom is still living, I hope that you can be with her today, and maybe if not, you can call her and talk with her. I know that she will certainly want to hear from you. I'm thankful for Cindy being such a good mom to our kids, our three kids, and I know the role that she played in helping raise our kids to love Jesus. We're blessed to have one of our three children with us today, Abby, and her family is with us, and we're just always glad to have her with us on these special days. She had a special blessing this morning. She has a nine-month-old Theo. He's our youngest grandchild, and he said mama for the first time today. And she was so excited. They were in the bedroom, and I heard her screaming, and come quick, he's saying mama. And so I ran back there, and he was saying it just over and over again. It's a special day for her as she's heard that word from his lips for the very first time. And looks like a number of you are going to be gathering with your family today, and a lot of moms aren't having to host. You're getting to go either out to eat, or maybe your child is hosting the dinner. We know it's a big day, it's a family day, and we want to thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at Reinhardt. And I know that you've already been asked to stand a couple of different times, and I'm not going to ask you to stand a third time if you're a mom, but I am going to ask this because I want to pray a blessing over you from Scripture. If you are sitting close enough to your mom, would you reach out and touch her? Okay, just put your hand on her and let me pray this blessing from Scripture over all of our moms here today. May the Lord, and this is actually from Scripture, from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Father, as we have prayed this prayer from Scripture over our moms, and a lot of folks here today reaching out and just touching their mom, may this be a very special day for them. May you cause your face to shine upon them and give them your favor, give them your grace, give them your peace today. We thank you for them, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been in Colossians 3 for several weeks, and you may find it interesting if you have your Bible, open it to Colossians 3. I was interested in the heading that's in my Bible, and I looked at several Bibles that I have on my shelf, just what the heading was in each of these translations. The New American Standard Bible that I have has the heading, "Put on the New Self." The New Living Translation has the heading, "Living the New Life." The NIV that I read from at home has the heading, "Rules for Holy Living." Now, you may have a different heading in your Bible over Colossians 3, but they're all basically saying the same thing. This chapter is one of the most practical chapters for 2023 that we can get to. And moms and dads, I want to encourage you to become very familiar with this instruction that is in Colossians chapter 3 and try to live according to that instruction. And really, it's for everyone. It's for moms, it's for dads, it's for young people, it's for the older folks, it's for the single person, it's for all of us who are trying to be rooted into Jesus Christ. It follows up Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, which is our memory verse for this whole year. It says, "As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." I wonder if you have noticed the number of verses in Colossians that stress the importance of thanksgiving. This is part of the rooted life in Jesus, that we be a people of gratitude. And our memory passage from Colossians chapter 2 says we are to be overflowing with gratitude. And then in Colossians chapter 3, we have looked at verse 15. Today we'll look at verse 16. Next week we'll look at verse 17. All three of those verses emphasize the importance of being thankful. Let me read verse 15 to you from last week. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 16, where we'll be today, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." And then verse 17, next week, it says, "Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." If I read through these three passages and preached on them 3 weeks in a row and never mentioned to you the importance of being thankful, I would be doing you a misfavor, and I would be missing a very important part of the text. We are to be a people of gratitude. And maybe you remember, this is how Paul started out the letter to these folks who were living in Colossae. He said in verse 3 of chapter 1, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always making mention of you in our prayers." Thanksgiving is a part of the rooted life in Jesus. We really should be counting our blessings, naming them one by one, because God has truly blessed us, hasn't He? Amen. He has truly blessed us. He has been good to us. If we look around the world, we could be easily distracted by all of the chaos and the darkness. And if that's what we're looking at primarily, then we're going to be filled with doom and gloom. My daughter Abby and I were talking about this even last night. Just if we have our ears and our eyes onto the news constantly, we're going to be depressed. But we need to get our eyes on Him. and on the blessings that He continues to pour down upon us. This is a part of the rooted life, that we would know those blessings, that we would be thankful for those blessings, that we would let the Holy Spirit transform our thinking, and then we will be a more thankful people. We'll be overflowing with gratitude. We'll see the blessings that He is pouring down upon us. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift, according to James chapter 1. And so I want to encourage you this morning to be a thankful person. Have your eyes open to those blessings that the Lord is giving to you. And I think that's going to be a whole lot easier for us if we let the Word of Christ richly dwell within us. That's what verse 16 says. The word richly means abundantly in the original language. Let the Word of Christ abundantly dwell within you. The word dwell means to inhabit and influence for the good. If you put all of that together, the Word of Christ is to abundantly inhabit us and influence us for the good. That can happen only as we take the time to be in this book. I gave emphasis to that last week in my preaching. I mentioned to you that I had attended a conference in Indianapolis a few weeks ago, and I had the opportunity to hear a missionary to China speak there at that conference. He was talking about how he would encourage the Chinese believers to read 25 to 30 chapters of God's Word every week. And they were doing it. They were taking that challenge to heart. And that Word of Christ was having such an impact on them. What we feed into our minds and into our hearts is what we will become. I wonder, are we feeding ourselves the Word of God? Now, I know we could get hung up on this thought of 25 to 30 chapters a week, and that become kind of a checklist type thing for us. I don't mean for it to become that, but I do strongly believe that as we get into this book, then the book has a chance to get into us. And it's not going to happen if we're not in the book. We have to manage our time well and make sure that He gets the first fruits of our time. In other words, that we are giving Him quality time, not just the leftovers of our time. Let the Word of Christ richly or abundantly dwell within you. I was listening to a sermon by my son-in-law Luke just recently, and he referenced a statistic that he had seen. And I suppose iPhone companies have a way of tracking this, as they have all kinds of personal information on us. I remember a while back I was looking to buy a hitch for my Highlander. And I was doing some research on my phone for what a hitch would cost me. And so I went to a particular website, and I was looking at a hitch for a 2005 Toyota Highlander. And I saw the price, and I kind of planted that into the back of my mind. In fact, I saved that on my phone. But I wasn't ready to buy at that moment. And I will tell you, for the next 2 to 3 weeks, every time I picked my phone up and an ad appeared, it was for a 2005 Toyota Highlander. They know all kinds of things about us. They know our location. They know where we are showing our interest. And so it shouldn't surprise me that the iPhone companies can come up with this kind of statistic. Do you know how many times a day the average iPhone user touches their phone? 2,617 times a day. And when I heard that statistic, I thought, oh my goodness. That's the average person. You might be saying, hey, I'm not average. That means there's folks who are way above average. 2,617 touches a day on this phone. There are some things that we are too connected to. And there are some things that we may not be connected to enough. And maybe that's something you should give consideration to. I'm not here to judge you at all. But what I would ask is that you judge yourself and that you involve the Holy Spirit in that process of you judging yourself and how you are connected with the Word of God versus how you are connected with this device. And if the Holy Spirit would be leading you to do such a thing, you know what I want to challenge you to do? Is to take one day and fast from your phone. Turn it off. Lay it down. Don't pick it up for 24 hours. And during that time, you try to do some communication with the Father above and spend some time here in the book and just let His Spirit speak to you. Let Him lead you. Let Him direct you in how connected you need to be to Him more than anything else in the world. Take a deep dive into the Word of Christ. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the Word of Christ abundantly inhabit you and influence you for the good. And see what kind of blessing that day becomes to you. I'm thinking, you know, we used to live our days, our lives without cell phones at all. And we were fine. And now we oftentimes will act like we can't exist for long at all without touching this thing and looking at it. And I'm just thinking, it would do us good to try that. You may think I'm just totally crazy for suggesting that, but I think it would be a blessing for us in disguise. I want to give to you three benefits this morning that will come your way if you will take a deep dive into the Word of God. First blessing is this: you will get to know Jesus better. This book is all about Jesus from beginning to end. You dive into this book, you will be learning more and more about Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, "I am the only way to the Father. I'm not one of many ways to the Father. I am the only way to the Father." He is the living water. This book, if we will partake of this book, we will never thirst again, Jesus said. A memory verse of mine here recently from John 4, 13 and 14. Jesus is at the well in Samaria. The woman has come. The Samaritan woman is there. And he's asking her for a drink. And their conversation continues. And this is what he says to her. Anyone who drinks of this water, speaking of the water from the well, they will become thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give will never thirst again. It will become in them a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Jesus, hear me say this. Jesus is living water. If you get into this book and drink of him, he will satisfy your thirsty soul. He's the bread of life, according to John 6, 35, where he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. I was with a group of guys just this last week, and we were talking about what it means for Jesus to be the bread of life. And I heard guys around the table from me saying such things as this. He nourishes my soul. He fills me up. He satisfies my hunger. This is guys from our church family that are saying this. He is to my soul what bread is to my stomach. One guy said, I love the taste of bread, and most everyone does. Bread is the one staple food of all people everywhere. And that's true. And Jesus is for all people everywhere. And if we will fill ourselves up with him, we will hunger no more. In him, we have everything that we need. He is our peace and our joy. He is our hope. If you get into this book and get to know the one who can change everything for you, your life will never be the same. Now, I'm not just talking about getting knowledge of him. I am talking about getting into a personal relationship with him and knowing him intimately and falling in love with the one who has loved you from the beginning. Before you were born, he loved you. We must get to know Jesus, and it's through this book that we will get to know him. Let me give to you a second benefit. As God's word richly dwells within you, the answers to life's most important questions will be found. I've talked with you about this through the years, but I think it's a point that needs emphasized over and over again. This book is God's wisdom imparted to us. This book will answer for us every major question that we might have. The question of how did I get here? The question of who is God? The question of who am I? The question of what is my purpose for being here? Not only the question, how did I get here, but where am I going? Those questions can be answered from this book. This book will answer the age-old questions of why is there so much suffering in this world? If God is real and if God is love, then how could he let such bad things happen to good people? This book will answer the question of how we are to interact with each other. It addresses the question of creation and gender and race. It addresses the question of marriage and singleness. It addresses the question of how we are to live and how we are to die. If all of these questions are answered in this book, then you would think that none of us would have a problem of being in the book. And yet, I think that is a common problem for a lot of Christian people to have. We're not in this book enough. We are living our lives so fast that we oftentimes are shooting ourselves in the foot spiritually. Let that sink in. We're living our lives so fast that we oftentimes are shooting ourselves in the foot spiritually. On September 21st, 1956, an American test pilot named Thomas Attridge was flying his fighter jet, an F-11 Tiger. He was flying at 20,000 feet, and he started to dive. When he reached 13,000 feet, he test-fired the 20-millimeter cannon of his aircraft, and then he went into a steeper dive and kicked on the afterburners to increase his speed. A short time later, at 7,000 feet, he leveled out, and all of a sudden, the plane rattled, his windshield buckled, and he realized something had gone terribly wrong. Initially, he thought he had hit a bird. He quickly realized he was losing power. He radioed the control tower and headed back to the landing strip. He was descending all of the while and losing power. He began to hear a grinding noise in his right engine, and Thomas Attridge could not get back to the landing strip. He was forced to crash land his plane. The wreckage caught fire, but thankfully Attridge survived the crash. He was able to get out of the plane, although he had 3 broken vertebrae and a broken leg. An investigation after the accident discovered that it was not a bird strike at all. The plane had actually been hit by 3 20-millimeter bullets. Maybe you guessed it, they were his own bullets. Thomas Attridge shot himself down, kicking on the afterburners after he had fired his cannon, flying faster than the bullets, diving down until his own ammo finally caught up with him. I heard that story told and I checked it out on the internet. It is an absolute true story. I wonder if sometimes we don't shoot ourselves down spiritually by our own busyness and distractions that keep us from being richly filled up with the Word of Christ. Could I challenge you to slow down and get into the Word if you're not already? Or if you are already, maybe there's a way that you could just dive a little deeper into the Word and get richly filled up. Because as you do, it's going to help you know Jesus. It's going to help you know the answers to all of life's most important questions. And here's the third thing. It will equip you to be able to teach others. And verse 16 of Colossians 3 talks about us being able to teach and admonish others. We are responsible for one another. We are our brother's keeper. And if we're going to teach others the truth about Jesus, then we need to have the truth of Jesus in our own heart. And so, moms, let me encourage you to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you so that you can then pass the words of Christ on to your kids. And dads, you too, let the Word of Christ abundantly inhabit you and influence you for the good so that you can pass on the words of Christ to your kids. I've told you before, I like when I see something really, really, really good of a saying, I like to write it down. I've got in the back of my Bible, in fact, every Bible I've got that I've had for a while anyway, there's 1, 2, 3 pages of quotes in the back of those Bibles. And I was kind of thumbing through that this last week and ran across this again. If your Bible is falling apart, it usually means that you are not. Let's wear out some Bibles. Let's wear out some Bibles. Because we've used them so much. And then let's pass the truth of God's word on to our kids and then on to others as well. As we close, would you read this with me, please? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let's pray together. God, I just pray that this is a good challenge for our moms, our dads, all of us today. That God's word would inhabit us, that we would choose to be in the word, that we would make the time to be in the word so that it could change our lives. We need that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.